Papa Roan, that is Hot to Go right here on 2FM. Now, on Friday, we were talking a lot about how TikTok might be banned. So what has happened over the weekend and what the hell is going on in Meta? A lame burk forum for Tech Sake podcast is back with me now to try and make sense of all the socials. You've had a busy time.
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of days. A very busy weekend for tech journalists.
Yeah, everybody is pulling out of you left, right and centre. We were talking to you on Friday because obviously it was imminent that TikTok was going to go dark come Sunday morning. I've never opened my phone as quick. Yeah. I literally yesterday morning was like, huh, where are they gone? What's happening? It was funny to see creators move over to Instagram so quickly and start posting so frequently there about like not actually existing.
And but did you notice Instagram suddenly has portrait-shaped grids, which is similar to the TikTok grid.
Not loving it now.
Like, instantly they were like, right, we're going to try and
we'll take you.
Make the TikTok refugees comfortable.
This is where they corner. This is your home. We can love you. We can save you. You can bring your content to us. We won't listen and we will judge. But talk to me, right? Like, explain to anyone who might have missed it. What is happening in TikTok? What happened yesterday?
Yeah, so TikTok did go dark. It essentially cut off its services to US users, and that's estimated to be about 170 million users. And there was a pop-up notification that basically said, this is not available to you in the US, but we're waiting for President Trump. He wasn't president yet yesterday, by the way. We're waiting for him to sort out a deal for us, essentially. So they name-checked Trump, and I definitely think that that is part of this tech contingent bending the knee to Trump to get everything that they want from him, because flattery definitely works with
absolutely.
This guy. And then shortly after that, Trump posts on his own social network through Truth Social that he's working out a deal. He's trying to make it so that ByteDance still sells TikTok. They still want to push for a sale of TikTok to a US entity, but he's looking at maybe 50% ownership by a US entity. Now, still a big question mark over whether ByteDance is going to agree to sell TikTok. And even if they sell TikTok, what will they sell?
Yeah.
Are they just going to hand over the users and the name and a name only and not the algorithm?
Yeah.
The algorithm is the secret sauce that people really want to get their hands on.
Well, because nobody has their hands on it. Exactly. Like, there is
except
no rhyme or reason.
Dance.
Yeah,
yes.
They're the only people, like, as creators, like, who are on the app, they don't have any insight into how this works either. It's just,
well, you see how the creators appreciate how the algorithm works. And basically, to put it really simply, why it might be seen as different is TikTok is seen as doing what's called a interest graph to kind of refer you to content. So if you show an interest in cats doing things wearing hats, like, you are probably going to get more videos of cats doing things wearing hats. So that means that their AI is really good at kind of interpreting what's in a video and matching that with your interests. And that means that they're also very good at surfacing, like, anybody. Yeah. Anybody's content can go big on TikTok. And we've seen how that plays out. Like, people who have posted their first video can suddenly see millions of views. And that's very rare on other platforms, because other platforms operate more of a social graph way of surfacing content. So if you're already popular and you already have a big following, you will continually get boosted on those apps, because it's all kind of best based on your connections. And relating that, if Laura posts this and Elaine likes it, well, then friends of Elaine may also like Laura's content. So let's share Laura's content to Elaine's friend and see if they bite on that.
Exactly. But TikTok is, like, completely different. I actually find TikTok so handy in terms of when I just wanted to scroll while I'm cooking food, I'll Google, like, am I the a-hole storytellers? And I'll like two or three of them, and then they continuously come up on my feet. And then I'm like, yep, them feet. I'm like,
I've learned how to
rig it for myself. Or if I'm, like, let's say, like, planning a wedding at the minute, if I'm looking up vendors and stuff, I'll look up a couple of them, so then that it starts feeding me more of that content. You can trick it.
And for those vendors, they're basically getting business out of you because of posting on TikTok and you finding them there. So that's another thing. Like, as well as having 7,000 employees in the States that are in a very precarious position at the moment, TikTok has millions of creators who make their money and their livelihood through this app, either by promoting their business if they are a wedding planner and people are looking for wedding services, or they are a creator who, you know, is just on the app for entertainment purposes and they get some money out of the TikTok Creators Fund for just being good at creating TikTok content.
Now, while all of that was building, there were huge developments at Meta. What happened with fact-checking and why?
Yeah, so this is the thing. Like, there's been so many big stories in social media. It's going fast. So not that long ago, you might remember, Mark Zuckerberg made the decision that they're going to roll back what they had in place, which was third-party fact-checking on its sites. Now, what that means wasn't that like every post was getting fact checked, because there's too many posts for them to do that with the system that they had in place. I don't think there's too many for them to do that ever. They're a $1 trillion company. Yeah. They could step it up. But the system that they had in place, if content was flagged, it would be referred to third party fact checkers and they could add a note to it. And they were, you know, experienced in fact checking. They were institutions such as like the Associated Press, even the Journal, which people might read here. They were involved in the fact checking program with Meta. So they also had like kind of like localized news groups as well involved. And it wasn't a perfect system, but it is important when you have like misinformation and disinformation being shared online to have these things in place, checks and balances essentially. And they're now going to move to something that's a bit more like what happens on X, which is called a community notes feature. And community notes kind of does what these companies are very good at doing, and it farms out the work to users
instead of
actually paying people to do the job. They love to do that. So community notes puts it on users to sign up to be a community note participant.
You're joking.
Yes. And then the way it works on X, now I don't know if this is exactly how it will work on Meta. They've said it will be like X, but they haven't said exactly how theirs will work. But on X, something is posted and they use their algorithm to weigh up the different types of people contributing notes to the post to try and get a kind of like political balance.
Okay.
So they're trying to make it so like if I seem to be leaning one way politically and another person adding a note seems to be leaning in another way politically, they'll try to kind of balance out those notes, and they and people vote on the notes, and they won't actually publish a note until it's achieved a certain level of balance. As you can see with your head in your hands, that's a very complicated, overwrought system, and exactly what you were expecting happens. About 75% of community notes are never published because of that system. So even though there are people, you know, the way there's like Wikipedia editors in the world, there are people who do want to try and help people get the right information in the world. Those people are volunteer based and they're you know, very good of spirit, but they can put that work in and still never have their notes be displayed if it doesn't reach this arbitrary balance set out by an algorithm.
What are the HR policies in this, or are there any? Like,
So that's another thing that's happening at Meta. So Zuckerberg is basically, he seems to be on a campaign to be a new Musk, like an alt Musk, because he's really following the patterns there. He did a Joe Rogan interview. Like, he said he's going to do X's version of community notes. He said he went on Joe Rogan and he's talking about how diversity, equity and inclusion programs are no longer going to be something that's important at Meta as an employer. And they're basically programs that try to correct institutional sexism, racism and things like that, which happens because if I say, oh, I only want to hire the best of the best, I'm going to hire based on merit in my company, what happens there is that if there's institutional sexism that keeps, or institutional racism or any kind of prejudice that keeps people out of, you know, progressing to third level education, having the kind of experience and jobs that other people with more privilege might have, like, it means that you aren't going to self-correct for that. And it means you also don't get a diversity of opinion in your workplace. And if you're a platform that services billions of users worldwide, diversity of opinion is actually really useful for you, because
otherwise you're in an echo chamber.
Yeah, otherwise you're just making, but also you're just making a platform for a certain type of rich white guy that lives in Silicon Valley, and not for, you know, the billions of other types of people that are on your app. But apparently he's going to kind of move away from these kind of more open and inclusive policies that were part of Meta for a long time. Like, people who worked at Meta would have been very proud of these policies in many ways. And he's not the first company to kind of go in this direction. Like, there's a company here in Ireland called Intercom, which when they had a change of CEO recently, who has been photographed with Trump and seems to be going a bit pro-Trump in his kind of sentiments. He has talked about dismantling employee resource groups that were for, like, say, LGBT groups, arranging maybe events around Pride and things like that. So kind of like pulling resources from those kind of groups that would support, you know, diverse employees feeling at home at work.
Great, we're going backwards.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Love to see it, honest to God. Love it on a Monday morning. Mark Zuckerberg, let's come back to him for a second. What's his track record with big policy shifts?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. So people are like, oh, I can't believe Mark Zuckerberg has just gone like all the way in this direction and has ideologically shifted so dramatically. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg ever really had any ideology one way or the other, other than how do I be more rich and more powerful, which is actually, I find this has been captivating me for the last few weeks, which is that you have these people who are literally among the richest people in the world.
Gajillionaires.
Elon Musk's case is legitimately the richest person in the world. by a great distance, and still they are busy and meddling in our lives. And it's kind of like, why would you aspire to this if that's what it looks like? It looks like still being busy up all night on Twitter all the time talking about stuff that doesn't actually really concern
you. Not enjoying yourself.
And like, would you ever just stop?
Go on a yacht. So, jump into the sea. Yeah. Touch some grass.
And it's
you've got the money to do it all.
But they come from this culture of like everything, it has to be bigger and better. I have to be the best. I have to be on top. So like Mark Zuckerberg is looking at Elon Musk be like half, he's approaching half a trillion in wealth and I'm only a petty billionaire here. So that's just my imagining of it. And it's sad. It's actually really, really sad when you see that for what it is. And he is like basically going where the wind is going. So the wind is going towards a Trump administration. Trump is in charge for the next 4 years. Yeah. That's a fact. What happens after that, we don't know. But he's not the only tech CEO to be donating to Trump's inauguration fund. They've all done that pretty much. But he's really trying to cozy up to him. And even in his statement when he talked about rolling back fact-checking, he talked about basically having the Trump administration as allies in a fight with the EU on regulation, because just wants to be able to develop products that may be unsafe for the billions of users that Meta has and have no restrictions.
Okay, let's stop talking about the boys for a second, because I'm actually like the steam coming out of my ears. I'm going to have to take the headphones off in a second. They're annoying me that much. But what about actual Meta platforms, Elaine? Like, why have them and their bots been in the news lately?
This is another really crazy thing that happened, and it got subsumed by the fact-checking move, because right before that there was another crazy thing happening on Meta's platforms where so essentially a head of product at Meta did an interview with the Financial Times talking about how they were going to start introducing AI profiles that they have created themselves. So this is what we would normally call bots, which people are annoyed at online and don't always enjoy online. Sometimes they're useful. They might be a bot that is actually set up to deliver information. Say there might be bots for like train schedule information and updates and stuff like that. But a lot of the time bots are annoying and they're pretending to be people and engaging in conversation, and they're not really. They're trying to stir up certain sentiments online. So people don't generally like bots and they don't look at them favorably as being on a platform. Yeah. But then this guy from Meta is like, we're going to introduce support. AI characters that we've created on the platform, and that's going to be great. And it's just this element of trying to engineer engagement. And again, this is what I mean about their obsession with things that have to go up and scale upwards constantly. So if Meta already has 3 billion users, well, then they have to have more. They have to have more than 3 billion users. They have to have more engagement, because shareholders have to have graphs that go up or they're unhappy and the share price goes down and Mark Zuckerberg's personal wealth goes down. And it's just about engineering engagement so that they can say, oh, our user engagement went up, and it might have been because bots were annoying people and sending them notifications. Like, that could be the future on these platforms. But after this article came out, people went looking to see if these bots already existed on the platform, and they found basically an older version of this idea that now has, since then it came out, it has been disabled. I'm going to tell you that now. But they had these profiles that were on Instagram and on Facebook, and it was like, I'm a queer mama of four. But then she, and this was like a black woman, and she was posting pictures that were supposed to be of her children, and like they were white and they were black in other pictures, because like they're all AI generated just from random prompts. So it's really strange and inconsistent, and it's just like pretending to be this diverse character and this kind of stereotype in a way as well. And then they had this guy who was like a working grandfather here to offer sage advice.
No, and this annoys me now so much, because there's so many granddads that I follow on TikTok that I'm obsessed with, and I just don't want muddy in the water here like this.
Yeah. You'd spot them straight away though, these, because like they're, like I said, the inconsistencies. It's like the pictures make absolutely no sense. You can't repeat faces and characters in generative AI images just yet. So it's not like they're posting pictures and it's like, oh, there's that guy again. It's just random picture of man working hard on some craft project at home, and then random picture of another man with his grandkids.
Look, finally, because we could stay going with this all day. How do you reckon that all of this might change what's on our socials in the future?
I think you're going to see a lot more of this, what's called AI slop. Sleeping through, and it's for that reason. It's because they need to train these products better. They need to refine them, and the way you refine AI products is you get loads of people to interact with them and kind of course correct them.
Yeah,
it's kind of it's in the
again down to the people again.
Yeah, in the industry, it's called reinforcement through human feedback, and like, you should be paying people to do that, but no, these companies don't like to do that. So they'll just unleash these things onto their platforms, get feedback from users, and use that in their training. So you're going to see a lot more of that. And you're also going to see a lot more of that because they're trying to plug these products in. There was another instance where users were getting AI generated pictures of themselves sent to them. Now, this is users in the States. We have less of the AI infiltration happening here in the EU.
Because, we've got more rules.
Thank God. Like, imagine getting an AI generated picture of yourself sent to you
freak
by Instagram
out.
Being like, hey, do you want to post this? And it's just a fake image of you, Laura, in like a house of mirrors. That was what this person got. And you're like,
I mean, depends
why?
On
why? But like, why? Like, you can share very interesting content that you're actually doing as a personality. And it's like, why do we want this? To what end? And like, don't even get me started on the image of energy and water that will have been consumed
to do this.
These fake images that have no purpose whatsoever, and people don't even, they're not even asking for them, they don't even want to post them.
It's so never ending.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what the great thing is? It means we'll be back in again with another update. Because to be fair now, Elaine, we've covered a lot there. We've done TikTok, we've done the lads just trying to be greedy and greedy and greedy and then getting into all the AI stuff. Thank you so much, as always, for coming in with us today. That is podcaster Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sake with all the latest on TikTok, Meta, whatever you're having yourself. We'll be right back after these.
The Laura Fox Show
on 2FM, sponsored by Maxol. Download our new app and get even more out of your next visit.